Makeshift Stories presents Somewhere, Sometime, an irregular series of short bedtime tales and modern fables.
This week's tale is a combination of several different ideas that were floating around our house. David started writing a story about an invasion. We had a brief discussion on James Lovelock's Gaia theory that the Earth is a single complex organism. There was the announcement of the creation of a synthetic genome, and a story appeared about the possibility of life on Titan that is based on an entirely different chemistry than our own. So, sit back and open your imagination as we listen to Makeshift Stories 30, Invasion. Somewhere in some time, we may choose to ignore the signs.
As he hastily exited the aging lunar transport, Qualic warily glanced up at the thinning dusty clouds of ethane, an unavoidable sign of the impending disaster, he thought. Qualic had only several days left to wrap up his research. It was a significant discovery, and he had to uncover the secrets of its origin before he and everyone else were forced to leave. Qualic could hardly believe that it had only been 3 months since the Governing Council had declared the emergency and announced their belief that an all-out invasion was near. By whom, they didn't know. And that was the reason he had been recalled to the research station. It was the first major setback in the 500-year quest to conquer the hot inner solar system, and the timing couldn't have been worse. Their regional base, on the largest of the small frozen planetoids that inhabited the great expanse of asteroids between the outer gas giants and the inner rocky worlds, was now in opposition behind the sun, making communication impossible and rescue questionable. Only the extreme environment of the local moon was left, and it had a very limited ability to absorb the refugees that would be coming. Why had no one on the Terraforming Guild prepared for this eventuality? The thought circled endlessly in Qualic's busy mind. With all their knowledge and supposed wisdom, it was truly shocking, but he cynically reasoned. Terraformers often seemed to lack the slow, plodding patience of the biology guilds, frequently making claims more on faith in their abilities than on hard science. And if the planet was to be saved, it would now indeed have to be a miracle of faith.
Hey you, keep moving.
A haggard-looking militia officer rudely yelled, pushing Qualic headlong into a fast-moving river of blue-uniformed evacuation personnel.
There's not much time,
he redundantly added, as if anyone needed to be reminded of the deadline that was hurtling toward them. Morale looked low, but that was not his problem. Qualic pushed upstream a while, then curtly cut away from the surging forces at an abandoned transport station.
Hey, hello, over here!
An over-exuberant graduate student from the Institute of Exogenetics yelled, trying to catch Qualic's attention.
Quick, over here, Doctor! Everything's ready!
The student gently maneuvered Qualic toward a rickety, outdated regional air transport. Funding for biological and genetic research had fallen out of favor in the quest to exploit the inner worlds. The money and resources had followed the shiny lure of terraforming rather than the pondering pace of traditional science. Qualic squeezed into the squalid confines of the co-pilot seat as a graduate student jammed his bags into a small cargo hold and slid into the pilot's position. With relief, he noted that the systems were automated. The student would not be flying them to the research station. Sensing that its load was complete, the craft slid the doors closed, strapped its fragile living cargo in, whined complainingly into the soupy air, then headed south into the great wastelands.
What were the results of the genetic sequencing? Qualic impatiently demanded.
The student held out her hand for him to wait.
I'm not finished laying in the course, Doctor.
She poked at a panel in the roof of the cockpit. When a small status light turned green, she signed the okay and said,
It links the new microbes we found to the fossilized ones in the core samples from the bottom of the Great Mid-Latitude Sinkhole.
It was not the news that Qualic wanted to hear. The ship automatically sprayed a sedative into the air of the small cabin to relax its occupants for the 10-hour ride ahead. This would be the final chance, thought Qualic, as he drifted into a restless, light sleep. The drug and recent events conspired in Qualic's mind to create disturbing thoughts. He imagined that he saw his civilization's relentless terraforming and eventual exhaustion of the moons of the outer gas giants that had forced the reluctant expansion in toward the scalding energy of the sun. The generations before him had transformed all the usable asteroids of the Belt Ring. And they too had yielded all that they could, pushing him and his contemporaries ever closer to the fires of the central solar system, to the four remaining untouched inner worlds. And of those, the third one, despite temperatures that instantly vaporized methane and boiled unprotected skin, had become his life's work. First, the Terraforming Guild had set up automated bases on the poles and introduced industrial processes on a global scale to cloud the thin atmosphere with reflective particles. But the planet was stubborn and refused to cool. Next, they used the planet's solitary moon as a source for metals for great reflectors to reduce the onslaught of energy that continually slammed into the planet. But again, it seemed to resist by producing gases that trapped the heat. As a last resort, they had introduced genetically engineered microbes to eat the overabundant carbon and oxygen. As Qualic dreamed, he saw their microscopic agents in fast motion turn the tide, forcing the uncooperative world to succumb to their plans. The surface cooled until the great ancient ocean basins started to fill with life-giving methane. Settlements and farms began to appear. Then, with a low, rumbling groan, the planet flexed, like a dog shaking water from its back, and threw Qualic and all the newly established Yurdian life into space. And there he drifted in freefall toward the sun, screaming, unheard in the vacuum of space, as he began to boil. Qualic woke with a start. The transport tossed as its engines strained to cushion a bumpy descent. The grad student looked concerned.
Dr. Qualic, are you okay? It must have been the dream. Don't feel bad. We all started getting them. Didn't Dr. Tranlog warn you?
Qualic shook his head, waited for the thump that meant they were down, and impatiently grasped at a well-worn door release, jumping free of the ancient vehicle when it slid back. The student tried in vain to stop him. The landing pad, like the entire station, had been hurriedly thrown up after the initial discovery, using mismatched prefab parts recycled from some of the original colony habitations. It made the place look more like a shantytown that could be blown over in a strong wind than a research station. Qualic immediately began to cough uncontrollably. The graduate student shut the transport systems down and tossed Qualic a breathing mask. He had forgotten. The environment at this latitude had already been compromised. He sucked in the filtered air, and his coughing began to subside. The graduate student motioned him to an old pressure lock, and they passed through into a small cramped waiting area. The outer door sealed shut with a hiss. Then the chamber was flooded with fresh, hydrogen-rich air, before the inner seal released. Tranlog perfunctorily greeted them on the other side.
A lot has changed in your absence, Qualic.
Without waiting for a response, Tranlog anxiously hustled them through a maze of dingy, narrow, well-worn halls to the genetic research lab.
You must see this for yourself,
he bluntly demanded, then abruptly pushed through the door, making all the researchers inside jump.
Amena, show Dr. Qualic the latest sequencing results.
Tranlog snapped, pushing Qualic forward so hard he had to grab a nearby table to keep from tripping. A studious-looking young researcher obediently brought up a set of files on a screen that was attached to the workstation by an articulated arm. She tilted the display to make it easier for Qualic to see. He stared as an animated 3D model illustrating subtle but unmistakable changes in a twisting helix of DNA slowly evolved.
It always progresses the same way. Some unused garbage genes mutate. Then the changes spread with each replication, until the whole organism is altered,
Amena clinically commented. It took only a second for Qualic to understand. The DNA is being rewritten, and the resultant new genome, it's a descendant of the reconstituted DNA from the fossilized samples.
We already know that, but the recent samples, collected from the dust in the ionosphere, from the soil, and from the bottom of the lakes, have all been rewritten. They're now producing oxygen and carbon, rather than eating it.
Tranlog paused to collect his thoughts.
What's even more disturbing is that we're starting to find some variations that can even survive in hot environments. Qualic, they're destroying the fundamental elements necessary for life. It's as if the planet is intentionally changing back to its former toxic state.
Where these newest microbes will thrive, Qualic added.
We thought life couldn't exist under those circumstances, but these samples prove otherwise. It explains the chemical processes that the original mapping mission saw over 500 years ago. You know, there was an exobiologist back then that suggested they were the result of some unknown life form that didn't need methane. But the Terraforming Guild insisted it was geologic and had the idea discredited. And the signs, they've always been here, even in our dreams. I suppose we just didn't want to see them.
But Tranlog, the Governing Council still thinks it's sabotage by one of the independent worlds, haven't you told them?
I tried, Qualic, but you know as well as I that the Governing Council is in the pocket of the Terraforming Guild, and they need to believe it's a genetic attack from space. Otherwise, they'd be guilty of destroying an existing ecology and breaking their own moral code. And so, history repeats. The Terraforming Guild has again declared our methods flawed and the results misleading. The Council is convinced that we're wrong. They won't listen to reason.
Agitated, Tranlog paced between the rows of busy workstations until, distraught with frustration, his wild eyes settled on Qualic.
And now I know how this happened. The genetic mutations were introduced by a virus. I sequenced the one used in our early terraforming efforts. It's still around in everything, in the dust, the ground, the lakes, the air, so we breathe and eat it every day. The original is harmless.
Tranlog stopped pacing and demanded,
"Show him the slide."
They silently stared at the screen as it displayed a side-by-side comparison.
You can see the alteration in the junk DNA. It's a variation of the genes found in the fossilized microbes. The generational differences tend to indicate that the original infection occurred almost immediately after our terraforming virus was released.
It interacted with the native life forms. Qualic concluded in awe, then he added in a sarcastic tone, "No doubt, one of the so-called inorganic chemical reactions the Terraforming Guild found." Tranlog nodded his agreement, and the room fell silent again. "But then that means it's in," Tranlog completed Qualic's thought.
"Everything. Absolutely everything. Every plant, animal, microbe, and yurden that's ever been in contact with this world. I sequenced my own DNA and requested some random samples from Yurd Prime. Amena just finished the analysis. Show us the results."
The researcher anxiously fumbled at a set of controls until she found the right files. Qualic peered intensely at the three images on the screen. And in each one, from a now familiar point in the genetic sequence, the alien mutation smugly shone back, laden with the potential to transform all future life to an unknown design encoded within it. Feeling weak with the implications, Qualic had to sink back into the closest empty chair. Tranlog,
finally broke the heavy silence.
Let the Council think what it wants. Their pointless evacuation is 500 years too late.
Qualic leaned back and stared blankly at the peeling light strips crudely glued to the ceiling of the underfunded lab. And now, we are going to be terraformed.
All sound effects for Makeshift Stories are licensed from Soundsnap.com, and the opening and closing theme, Glimpse of Happiness, by Matt Natel, is PodSafe Music, licensed from PremiumBeat.com. Our next episode will be out in 3 weeks. Makeshift Stories is released under a Creative Commons Attribution, No Derivative License, which means that you're free to share our stories. Just remember to credit us and don't alter anything.